That's good, Nick.
It blows me away, man.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Share something with you right quick before we get started. I was listening to Joseph Francis week, and he was saying 2019 is the year of the latter rain.
Yep.
Year of the latter rain. I thought that was.
Watch that.
But today, talking about seeing something, Nick, we're on our 16th letter, which is Ayin, and that means I. I.
Like a capital I or I to see.
Like I to see.
Okay.
And the meaning of it is to watch or know. Watch or know. Let's jump on in here. Psalms 119, 121. I've done judgment and justice. Lead me not to my oppressors. Be a surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. My eyes fail. Remember we was talking about eyes. My eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. You know, we're talking about eyes, you know. I believe this is kind of like a term Paul might have been talking about, you know, his eyes or whatever. I believe this, David's just pouring his eyes, crying, you know, looking for salvation and word of righteousness. Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts or all your instructions. He says, I esteem them concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way.
I like
Whoa,
that.
That's good.
I love that.
I confess a lot. It is time, Lord, for you to act.
Amen.
That's a constant for me.
If you will, talking about the commandments and all the Lord, let's flip to Deuteronomy chapter 11 right quick. And I'm going to read some things, and we're going to see the importance of loving God.
Amen.
Loving God. You know, that's number one commandment.
Amen.
Love the Lord. But it starts off Deuteronomy chapter 7, 11, verse 1.
Deuteronomy 7, 11.
Or 11, 1. Deuteronomy 11, 1. I'm sorry. It says, therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgment, and his commandments always. And know ye this, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord, your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm. Mm-hmm. Let's jump down to 7. For your eyes have seen all the great work of the Lord, which he did. Therefore, I'm reading out the Amplified right now. Therefore, you shall keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess land. But we see here that keeping the commandments of the Lord makes one strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's jump down to verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commands, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. He's really zeroing in on the first command, to love the Lord with all your heart. That I will give you rain for your land in its due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. And I will send grass in the fields for the cattle, that thy mice eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heavens, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord gives you. Go down to 21. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, and the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give them, as in the days of heaven on earth. For you shall diligently keep these commands, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in his ways, and to cleave unto them. But I noticed here, in the 11th chapter here, he commanded the people three times to love. He's telling you, three times, I'm commanding you to love me. So, let's jump down 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn to other gods and serve them. You know, I was thinking about the story of Elijah there. And remember when Ahab married Jezebel and they set up to serve Baal? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the reason he, for 3.5 years, said, hey, boys, it ain't going to rain on the earth, because they went to serve other gods, right? And that's what that was all about. But I got thinking about this, but let's turn to Revelation. See, things kind of repeat themselves. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 6, starting in verse 5.
Chapter 6, verse 5.
Chapter 6, verse 5. And it says, when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and behold, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat, we're talking, you know, about the grass there, back in Deuteronomy, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, or a whole day wages, and see thou hurt not what? The oil and the wine? Mm-hmm. Remember, you know, there in Deuteronomy, it's talking about the oil and wine there? Mm-hmm. But we see here in Revelation 6, the wrath of the Lord being poured out upon the earth. You know, the rapture's done happened, church has gone home, and now mankind is under the wrath of God in the earth, the reason being because they did not love the Lord and did not love his commandments, and they missed it. But, you know, there's good news here, good news here. Let's look to, remember Elijah, you know, he's going to come back to earth, mm-hmm. you know, and do his ministry, and he's going to raise up them 144,000. He more or less going to be, you know, showing them a thing or two. Mm-hmm. And when they slay him in the streets, you know, they're at the 3.5 year point, whatever, and these 144,000 come forward. And if you read in the 12th chapter of Revelations, what they do, it says, they keep his commandments and preach Jesus, or proclaim the Lord Jesus, you know, and things, remember the first 3.5 years, things are not going to be so great if, you know, famine, because no rain in the earth. Well, in the last 3.5 years, what comes forward, you know, the Bible talks about the latter house of Israel being greater than the former house of Israel. Mm-hmm. Them 144,000 going to go forward. Keep God's commands and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. You think revival's going to happen in there? I do.
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Oh, yeah.
And, but anyway, I thought that interesting how things kind of repeat themselves.
It's just a circle.
Come full circle.
Yeah. It's a full, yeah. We're coming, and we are coming full circle.
Bill Klaus got an excellent teaching on that right there, Bill Klaus.
Who?
Bill Cloud.
Bill Cloud.
Yeah, he used to work for Perry Stone. He used to be his Hebrew translator, because he lived in Israel for many years.
Oh, okay.
And man, that guy, buddy, he'll blow your mind on some stuff. Sure will.
But the most question is, how many of y'all guys want things to go well for you in life? And how many of y'all know Father has the best?
Amen.
Nobody can outdo the Father. And you know, that we just say how important it is to love him.
Amen.
And the reason we do, because he first loved us.
That's right.
But what I wanted to see here, and he says, my eyes fail for thy salvation and the word of righteousness. No, salvation means Yeshua. Yeshua means salvation. And that's what we need to see. Our salvation and our righteousness. Our righteousness is what? Of him.
Of him.
You know, that's what the whole thing we need to see here in this scripture. Looking unto Jesus.
And Jesus fulfilled, we and Jesus fulfilled that command that we in ourselves can't love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, but Jesus did. His love is shed abroad in our heart, our spirit, by the Holy Ghost. So Jesus has fulfilled all the commandments, so we do love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. It's not here, it's in here.
We can't love his people without loving him, that's for sure.
Amen.
You want to pray as Thurston comes up?
Pray, sir. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise and glory, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for being our Abba Father. And thank you, Lord, for first loving us, Lord. Lord, that is so powerful. And we thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, where we're able to love now you with everything we got.
Amen. Yes.
And Father, I pray, Lord, that this man of God, Lord, coming, Lord, that the words that he speak will be bring us life. And bring us truth, Lord, and bring us wisdom, Father, in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well,
we
get thanks, started, Apostle. Let's just give David
okay. There's something that I wanted to show you, man, what you just said in that Psalms 119. I got to show it. It will take 2 seconds. It says this right here. It is time for the Lord. It's here. Right before that, I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy God's testimonies. He's got testimonies, and now they're ours. And we can speak his testimony.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah.
To defense of the accuser.
Amen.
But he ain't got no power over us. And all of his revelation knowledge is right here.
Amen.
That's right.
Sorry.
It's good.
I've been blown away by what I'm learning, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's put me in a new paradigm.
Yeah. God, he thinks of all things. When we take time and just hear him out, the things you're going to learn, it's just like that brackish water that Sister Deborah was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. Things are not always clear. A person can go to seminary school, learn, go to a good church, and go as far as they go. And they can and it can be a rise above what others are doing. But what God has for us can be so much greater. Mm-hmm. You know, some churches believe in healing like ours, and other churches may not. Well, the illusion can be that there's nothing more, but there is. With God, there's always so much more. Sometimes compared to the things that I've seen, we're just scratching the surface of what God can really do. And when a person gives, everybody's challenged to give God their full attention. You're challenged by the world. What will happen if I do this? You're challenged by the responsibilities that God may give you to do. As long as it's an unknown, it can look like a challenge. And people kind of crawfish back. But when every time I obeyed him, I felt the same challenges, no different. And the only reason I went forward with some of them, just being honest, was because I made a vow. If I didn't make that vow, I probably would have crawfished just like everybody else.
Walk backwards, that's what they do.
Yeah, they go back.
this morning. What y'all into?
But if you think about it, God spoke to them about sheep because they understood that they were shepherds. But today, we talk to each other about cars and distractions of phones because that makes sense to us.
God set me up too. He closed the door. I had my life all planned out. I believe in making plans. My mother was that way. And, you know, I used to think, and, you know, when I was, before I met the Lord, I used to think and process things. It was the way I wanted to be, but I wanted to be, all I really wanted to do was be a good man, but I didn't think I could do it, and I found out I couldn't until I got saved. So once we, you know, but I was going to go and be a mechanic, go to mechanic school, work at a dealership, and then go back to school and learn business, then open my own shop and live happily ever after. Well, that didn't happen. I went to the mechanic school, and the Lord blocked me from, I never got the job I wanted in the dealership in those days. And I didn't know the Lord was directing my steps. But one day I said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. Because I was 2 years out of school, still working at about a year after I finished school, I was still working at a grocery store. Then I started out on the bottom at the dealership. And I was, you know, at that point I had planned to be further along. I said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. And he did. Make a long story short, he let me work at people's houses. He closed that door and opened a greater one. I started my own business, even though I didn't feel like I was ready, but I did it. And I worked at people's houses, and I was at a good church learning things, and I saw people make terrible decisions. You hear people talk when you're working on their car. They're sitting on the front porch on the telephone, and you can hear what they're saying. And you see why things are the way they are. The happiest people are the people who took their children to church and their family. They went to church, and they loved God. They were better off. They didn't have to pay. They didn't have to go bail people out of court. I've seen everything. And I come from a good neighborhood. I saw people. I saw the rewards of if you work hard, you go forward. But I saw what people were going, and I wanted to help, and I didn't know what to do. So the Lord, as he started teaching me things, I love the people. But when I made that vow, I learned something. You don't have to be afraid of what's next. If you give God everything you got, starting with your attention, and you just give everything to him, he will do some awesome things that will blow your mind. And the challenge is an illusion. All of it. When people are, they don't follow God because they're afraid of responsibility. You're gonna love it. It would be a part of you. You will thrive on this. Whatever God put on your heart to do, you'll come alive again. You'll want to do it. You'll have a passion for it.
Total agreement.
And then when he anoint you, you kind of like Brother Rabbit. Throw me in the brow patch. You right at home. You know, you kind of like Peter, give me a boat. I can bring back some fish. When you're anointed, you can do things you normally can't do. When God gives you a vision for something and a passion for something, you can make some things happen. He'll give you the training, and it'll be like a cakewalk.
Favor will get you where nothing else will, not even money.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says that before you were ever made, before the world was ever done, he gave you grace and the ability to do it because it's written in your book. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. And
so
you know,
when he gives you the vision, you're going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be good at it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be successful with it. And you'll also make a great living doing it.
You will.
But
it's better. And
God
effective.
Put it in you because he loves his creation.
That's exactly.
By him. And you can follow
exactly.
it, or you can partly follow it, or you can totally
not.
Reject it.
Mm. It's up to you.
It's up to you because God created us to love him. And we are free.
Amen. I believe that's actually what we're going to give an account of, is how much
yes.
that love we fulfill.
That's good.
I'm going to tell you, everybody is a treasure.
Amen.
I treasure every person because some people, they're quiet and they listen. Some people are, they can come in the room and light it up. You know, they come in. When Robert come in, he'll talk. He'll say, that's a need. He got something God needs. Now, we're all that way. We have our differences. God can take a person once they're refined. When you receive the training of the Lord, you'll be refined and you'll be a sharp arrow in His quiver.
Yes. He will. The strongest horse, if they're not trained, their power without restraint, mm-hmm. which is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a wild horse is dangerous. So
yeah.
When we've got this power in us without restraint, we hurt other people. Mm-hmm. But once He trains us. Because mm-hmm. I'm like you. You said, do this, and I was like so afraid. I was going to fail, and for mm-hmm. years and years just resisted. And he finally said, Deborah, I can't drive a parked car. And I went, okay.
That made sense, didn't it?
I know, but once I started down that path, it's like everything mm-hmm. cleared up and things happened. But all those years, I was afraid of failure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and nothing was happening.
I had all my challenges, but God made it. When I got in His presence, I saw how feeble the challenges were,
exactly.
and I learned to rely on Him. You don't trust God just because it sounds good. You don't. That don't happen. You trust Him because He was good in the past. You have faith in Him for your benefit. You taking Him. You received His word. That's where your faith comes from. Now. When as we receive His word and embrace it, two things can happen.
In other words, is attend to my word. You've been talking about attention and embracing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you, one way you can put your attention on the Lord is to always stay in His word.
Yeah. Never forget, the word is a charge.
Amen.
And parts of His word is going to become so valuable to you.
Yes.
It's going to light you up in a good way. I mean, not like
in
wood,
a good
but
way.
You will be illuminated.
Sometimes it might be not so good that you think.
Well,
it's
start that way, but
He does chase them, Him that He loves.
You'll see the value of what God is saying.
Uh-huh.
The men in the neighborhood, I saw the value of working. Because
yes.
they worked and they took care of their yard. They used to compete on how good they could make their yard look.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they had nice houses and nice cars. I wanted that. I value working. Same thing when God gives you something that, when He tell you not to do something that's going to hurt you. You'll value knowing that, receiving that knowledge. Because you're overcoming all forms of pain when you're doing the intricate parts of His word.
Mm-hmm.
The word is going to be good to you, and you're going to want to share it. That's a natural response. Some people won't be ready for it, and they'll find fault with it, or they won't receive it, or they'll seem uninterested.
Amen.
When you're giving it away, you're losing a charge. Every time you preach, you're losing a charge of God's word. You're giving it away. So you have to actually go back and listen to what God said that gave you the illumination in the first place. To keep that, because you're going to need that charge for the future. If the charge gets low enough, you can forget it. And then the other thing, when you receive a charge, it's not going to be wasted. Bob Yanian said something that helped me with this. People will come up, I'm learning all this stuff, what do I do with it? He said nothing, just keep it.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord needs it, He'll bring it back.
Amen, that's good.
I have something up. He tells me, I write it down. He says, if you spend more time with me, I will keep you out of trouble instead of delivering you out of trouble.
I'm glad you said that.
That need to call a flag.
See,
because it was like, you know, if you just do what I tell you, I won't have to keep getting mm-hmm. out of trouble.
Yeah, just stay in His presence. Because in His presence, what happens?
He usually tells me, don't do this, don't do that. And
okay.
One or two times I wanted to do something, he'd tell a friend, she called
That's
me
correct.
Up, mm-hmm. and she'd tell me exactly what
the
he
God
said, word for word. I'm going, okay.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. In His presence, we change.
Yeah.
Yes, we change.
How do we change? We change like Him.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
That's the thing your parents always tell you, watch who you hang around.
Hey, that's good.
If you're hanging around Jesus, you're gonna be like him. You're gonna change like him.
I'm glad she said that.
He also told me, he says, you will rise or fall to the level of the people you deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So I always try to befriend up to, you know, learn better English and learn how to do things right. Because when you befriend down, all of a sudden, you get worse and worse and you can't figure out why.
Those are people you minister more to, they're not.
But you can't minister to anybody if you don't have enough word in
you. No,
they'll pour dirty water on your clean water.
And you have to be led by the Spirit.
Now, what if every day the Lord gave you a volume of information? I mean, every day he gave you a volume. What she said about distractions and problems, the problems can be a distraction now, and it can look like a mountain. And instead of you getting your daily volume, you believe in God for this to move this mountain out of the way again. Mm-hmm. The word said, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you. Now, every weight is not a sin, but it's a weight. It's something you don't have to carry. It can be old information, wrong information, misguided information. When you receive a volume for the Lord, from the Lord every day, you're gonna drive that stuff out of your life.
Amen.
But you know, you do receive a volume when you stay in the Word.
Yeah, that's why you. That's how you get to know it.
And then it talks to you through the Word.
Yeah. Amen. Then you said, "They that be strong, they that know the Lord will be strong and do exploits." Steve Quayle said something about a remnant. He said the remnant is what's left after everything is done. They stood and they're still working as under God when everything went wrong. When others failed and quit, the remnant will be steady, steadfast, and they will never bow their knee to be.
And the other thing is, and you know, I tell people, when you are reading horoscopes and when you are believing old wives tale, which is, you know, a remnant of witchcraft, when you believe in those things to God, it's like you're cheating on him. You know what I'm saying?
It is.
You're cheating on him.
Spiritual
fornication.
So
that would be like your spouse saying,
that is so
good. I didn't cheat on you. I just kissed her and we went on a date. Well, heck, that's cheating. You know what I'm saying? But that's the way he feels when you're reading your horoscope and you're going to palm readers and everything that's on God.
Because speaking done by the heart.
Exactly. But you need to get all. My grandmother believed every old wives' tale ever created. I always hated that. You just have to get those traditions and that filth out of you and just refuse to do that. I've had people, I just read my horoscope for fun. I'm going, baby, you cheat.
Leave it alone.
You just corrected me. Mm-hmm. Where did I get this one from? Like a Catholic, it's a Boy